was deep in form, what would you eat at first? If you had five drinks instead of four.
That would be fulfilling the mitzvah. We're about to introduce Eli Weber because it is 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, although he's temporarily assisting Mr. Weiser, who's doing the mitzvah. Mr. Weiser's over 90, a regular Tuesday morning. Yes? And introducing Eli Weber, 9 o'clock sharp on a Tuesday morning. Purim, Baltosif, and the creation of a holiday.
Okay, so it's really not about Purim, and I think I did this core idea once before. I'm not sure, I just lose track of these things. It's really about the question that we don't focus on, but it's fascinating, is how do you create a holiday? Obviously, it has implications later on for Yom HaTzmon and Yom Yerushalayim, which I don't really want to talk about, but you have to understand this. Before Purim, the universe of Jewish holidays were written in the Torah, and they are Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. Right? The whole idea of, hey, let's create a new holiday was something that it's clear in the Psukim and in other sources Chazal were uncomfortable with. Mordechai and Esther showed up and they said, this is a great miracle, let's commemorate it via a holiday. And the Anshei Knesset Gadol and Chazal were uncomfortable with it. There were two requests on behalf of Mordechai and Esther. The first was, let's create a holiday. The second was, let's put this book of Megillas Esther in Chaf Dala Kisvei Tanach. Okay? Those were the two requests, and obviously, the short answer is they got 1.5 of their requests answered. Megillas Esther is in Chof Dal Kisvei Tanach. There is a holiday called Purim, but it's not on the status, right? There's no Isser Molacha, there's no Kiddushas Hayom, all of which, by the way, didn't exist. The whole idea that let's make a holiday, but it's not really a holiday, didn't exist before Purim. So that's what I want to talk about today, because I'm interested in it. And if I'm interested in it, then by definition, it's interesting. Okay? So let's talk about that already.
Yeah, because I guess you're suggesting other holy days versus holidays.
Yeah.
Holidays mean some kind of commemorative event of
just
a
current
event.
Just come up with anything. What's an example?
And it is interesting that we don't have ones prior.
Well, the fast days.
What?
The fast days.
But okay, we'll talk about fast days, but obviously fast days are different, right? There's no, you know, let's put it this way. If I came to you and I said, I'm really concerned about X. Let's fast. So you would deal with it on the merits. But it wouldn't strike you as like I'm expanding the religion somehow. If I came to you and I said, this great thing happened to us, let's commemorate it via this whole new thing you never heard of, all Orthodox Jews correctly, you know, are nervous about it. Okay. That's where we start. Now, let's start with the first source.
And are we sure there are no days to commemorate the first temple?
Just stop. There were all these minor things, but in terms of, I got sources. Give me a chance.
The yard site.
Okay? I'm not talking about yard sites.
You're much more.
Okay. You know what? I'm just going up.
Okay.
The first source says as follows. I sometimes ask myself, why do I put up with this?
Really?
Okay. The first source. The Mishnah says in Megillah, it's the first Mishnah. Megillah nikreit ba'achad asar, b'shnei masar, b'shlosha asar, ba'arba asar, u'bachamisha asar. Megillah can be read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, and then like, it's funny. Lo pachot v'lo yoter, like that's not enough days. Right? Okay, but no more than that, just those days. And then, krachim amukafim chamam imot Yoshua bin Nun, if you're a walled city from the days of Yoshua, karim b'chamisha asar, the 15th, farim ba'ayarot gidolot, karim ba'arba asar. You could read on the 14th. Ela shakfarim maktivim liyom haknisa. But the villages, they can move Purim up to Yom HaKnisa, to the Monday or Thursday before when they all gather. So we're so used to this being the halacha, and we're so used to the fact that, okay, we read on the 14th or the 15th, none of us ever met anybody who celebrated Purim on another day, but in fact this is the din, we don't realize how unique this is.
Prabhupada Mai,
one
claims
second.
To be a walled city, and
great.
They celebrate Chushan Purim.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. I'm fully supportive of them.
Good for them.
Okay.
Can you vote?
But nobody really, you know, where do you have a din? Like, you know, if Leila Seder falls out on Wednesday and it's uncomfortable, it's inconvenient, so you could do it on 2 days before.
You're
right?
Most.
If Sukkot, excellent. Well, you'll have to wait for that. So you don't have this any place where here's a holiday, here's some alternative dates in case it's inconvenient for you. Right, let's just realize how bizarre this is to have it, and I want to move, you know, in the end we'll talk about it. But let's get to the core point, which is the point of creating a new holiday and the possibility that the creation of a new holiday is in fact itself an issur d'oraisa of what we call Baal Tosef. Right? You're not allowed to add on to the Torah. And there are specific sources in the Yerushalmi Kitav Water that raise this issue, but we'll just do the one in the Gemara Megillah in the Bavli in source number 2. The Gemara says as follows: Arba'im u'shmona neviim, there were 48 neviim, v'sheva neviot, and there were 7 prophetesses. Okay, nabu lohem liYisrael, each of them prophesied to the Jewish people. V'lo pichtu. V'lo hotiru al mashe katuv b'Torah, chutz mi mikra megillah. None of them took away any mitzvos in the Torah. None of them added any mitzvos in the Torah, except for mikra megillah. Okay, meaning, forget the holiday of Purim itself. The Gemara says very clearly, mikra megillah was a made up mitzvah that they added. It didn't exist, right? 48 Nevi'im never added anything to the Torah until Mikra Megillah. Right, you know, you get the sense right away. It's not even the sense. The Gemara is cluing us in to the discomfort that existed when they tried to introduce a new mitzvah. Okay? So how'd they do it? My Darush, what was the source? Obviously, you need a source for making up a new mitzvah. So what did they dash him? Amrav Chiyah bar Avin, Amrav Yeshua ben Karcha. They said the following Kal B'chomer. Uma me'avdus l'cheirus amrinan shira. If it's the case that when we left Mitzrayim, where our lives weren't really threatened, we were slaves, it was miserable, but there wasn't a decree of death against us, we sang shira, mimisa l'chaim lo kol shekein. In this case, we're going to be exterminated. Obviously, we should sing shira. Okay? It's not 100% compelling. Because we didn't really sing Shira when we left Mitzrayim, we sang it at Yam Suf, where our lives were really at risk. Presumably they would have killed us. But like maybe in the Gemara you understand they're going to take us back to Egypt and make us slaves again. But the short answer is, how do you make up a new mitzvah? And particularly, how do Nevi'im make up a new mitzvah? The whole thing doesn't bother me except for the stock. It's genuinely distracting. Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't have even noticed.
Yeah, I go for the
okay, Refuah Shleima.
I think it's an act.
So you see that what's interesting is also something else. You have to realize something. One is the question, how do you make up, you know, a new halacha, right? But one of it is, apparently, the hesitation was that Nevi'im made up the new halacha. It's like if I made up a new halacha, no one would care, because I'm nobody. But if Nevi'im do it, that kind of undermines the sanctity of Tayag Mitzvah. Now, really interesting. What about other rabbinic holidays? There could be such a thing. So look at number 3. Rashi, right on this Gemara, says as follows. Chutz mimikra Megillah. V'im Tomar, Ner Chanukah. Wait, isn't Ner Chanukah also a rabbinic mitzvah that was created, obviously, post the Torah? So he says, no. Kfar Pasku HaNevi'im. We're not really worried about Chanukah, because Chanukah wasn't made up by prophets, because they came much later. But historically, Rashi says, Aval Bimei Mordechai, Hayu Chagai Zecharia U'Malachi. Historically, they were still alive. And therefore, it was more sensitive that they made up a new holiday, given that they were Nevi'im. Okay,
but
so.
They didn't do it.
Correct.
What did I do?
Correct. But they were at the time of Nevi'im. And so, you know, it's understood, well, I'll say differently, they did do it. Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi were part of the Sanhedrin that approved the holiday of Purim. So therefore, they did do it, even though they were not the main advocates. Okay. Now, the problem is, it's raised in a number of places. We'll look at it in the Marsha in number four. But the problem is that it's not really the only mitzvah d'rabbanan. I mean, the way the Gemara presents it is, like, this is the first mitzvah d'rabbanan, as if from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there hadn't been a new mitzvah until Mikra Megillah. And I admit, whoever wants to attack me, I admit, I'm kind of conflating the holiday of Purim with Mikra Megillah. But it's just easier that way. So look at the Marsha. The Marsha number four says, De'af ha-mem chet nevi'im, even the 48 nevi'im, lo hotiru ela Mikra Megillah. They only added Mikra Megillah. V'hadalo tikshi hadatikun Shlomo Eruvin unatilat yadayim Shlomo HaMelech. He was, well, it was a Navi, not a Navi. He wasn't, you know, it was after Chamisha Chum Sheitorah. He made up the mitzvah of making an Eruv. He made up the mitzvah of Natilat Yadayim. He completely made it up. So says the Marsha, that's a critical point. He says, De'ein ze mikri hotir al masha katur batorah. What Shlomo did wasn't considered to be an expansion on the Torah, or an addition to the Torah. De'eruvin eino rak geder lohutzat shabbat meirshut hayachal lohutzat harabim. No. Eruvin is built on a din min ha-Torah. You're not allowed to carry. You can't carry too far. So he said, as a mitzvah, you could do something to deal with that halacha. Unetel shadayim yishum srach truma. He didn't make up until Tzedayim. He just expanded it to say we should pretend as if we have Tumah v'Tara b'zman hazeh, we should wash our hands all the time. Masha Einken, he says, Mikra Megillah v'ner Chanukah shehein mitzvot bifnei atman. Right? You can't say that Mikra Megillah is a geder to some other halacha. Ner Chanukah are a geder to some other halacha. They're not. They're completely, you know, they're completely invented mitzvot from whole cloth. Okay, so that's really what was concerning in the Gemara. The problem is, there's not really an answer. We'll talk about this more. On some level, what's the Kal Vachomer? See, I would say as follows. The question is, hey, they made up new mitzvah. Now, let's be clear. When you're talking about the prohibition of Baal Tosif, so there are different takes on Baal Tosif. Fascinatingly, the Rambam has a very famous take on the mitzvah of Baal Tosif, and he says as follows. A person who gets up and says that meat and chicken is the biblical prohibition of basar b'chalav is in violation of the biblical prohibition of Baal Tosif, because it's not. What is it? It's the rabbinic prohibition. Min haTorah, chicken and milk is mutter. Okay? So part of the Baal Tosif thing isn't just making something up new, it's making it up and then claiming that it's d'oraisa. Right? It could be that the whole answer is, so long as it's clear that it's drabanan, so therefore, you know, therefore it's okay. You could also claim, I think in the answer of the Kal Vachomer and the Gemara, part of it is, no, we have a mitzvah to thank God when he saves us. That's the d'oraisa concept. All we're doing here is applying it in an area that hadn't been applied before. It's iffy because Mikra Megillah really, you know, it has its own bracha, it stands on its own, but that's definitely part of it. Okay. But part of it is also the issue of having something that's in the Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh as the Megillah. Megillah says it's Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh, and not having it be d'oraisa. You understand? The way it works is the Megillah has a kedusha essentially the same as a Sefer Torah. Right? Because it's part of Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh. And a pasuk in Megillah Esther has the same kedusha as the pasuk of Shema Yisrael. I say this confidently only because Rav Soloveitchik said this. And that's except he said it nicer than me, it's exactly what he said. And now some of the ideas I'm going to share now are definitely from Rav Soloveitchik, so I feel confident in saying them. So the issue became, is it possible to have a sefer that's in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh that serves as a source for mitzvos that are not d'oraisa? You understand? Because they wanted two things. Because they wanted Megillas Esther to be part of Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh. That's one. And two, they wanted a holiday with separate mitzvos. Those two things together scared Chazal. because this whole idea that you could do one without the other seems foreign. And so here's just an interesting thing. I don't know if the Rav made this up, but I'd never seen it before or thought about it before. And here's fascinating. Look in source number 5. Let's just read Psukim from the Megillah and see what jumps out at us. Okay, again, this is from Perek Tet. I say this all the time only because it's true. Nobody ever remembers any Psukim from Perek Tet. You know why? Because it's all over in Perek Tet, and Perek Tet is where you're going, I don't remember this Perek from last year. Like, I thought Haman dies, boom, and we go eat. Like, the whole thing. It's, every year is, like, shocking to me, this Perek Tet. Like, did they just slip this in? But here's what it says in Perek Tet, while we weren't paying attention. Al kein ha-Yehudim ha-Prazim ha-Yoshivim barei ha-Prazot, the scattered Jews, osim et yom arba'a asar l'chodesh Adar, they make the 14th of Adar. What are they making? Simcha u'mishteh v'yom tov u'mishloach manot ish l're'ehu. Somebody translate. What do they make it?
A meal.
Simcha.
Happiness.
Good. Mishteh. Good. Next.
Yom tov.
What's yom tov?
Oh.
Right. The definition of yom tov for colloquially is a day of kiddush of iser malacha. Right? In halacha, in the Torah, Yom Tov means Karban Musaf and or Isser Malacha. Every single day that we have, that's a Yom Tov, has both. Okay? Now, obviously, there was no Beis HaMikdash then, so it means Isser Malacha, right? That's a surprising thing. So watch what happens. Vayichtov, so that's what they did. Vayichtov Mordechai Pasuk Chaf. Et hadvarim ha'ayuleh, so Mordechai writes it all down. Vayishlach sifarim al kol ha'yudim asher b'chol medinot ha'malach ha'chashverosh. Now he sends official letters to all the Jews. What do the letters say? Likayem aleihem, to affirm for them, lihiot osim et yom arba'a asar l'chodesh Adar, to make the 14th of Adar et yom chamisha asar bo b'chol shana v'shana, to make it something annually. What is that? Kayamim asher nachu bohem hayudim e'oyivehem, like the days that we rested from our enemies, the first year, v'hachodesh asher nepach lahem miyagon l'simcha, the month that was changed from agony to joy, u'me'evel, from mourning liyom tov, la'asot otam yimei mishteh v'simcha u'mishloach manot ish l're'ehu u'matanot la'avyonim. What's missing from that list? Says Rav Soloveitchik, Mordechai and Esther didn't ask for Purim to be the Purim that we know it. They asked for it to be a Yom Tov. And originally that's what it was. It says in the first year the people treated like a Yom Tov. But he said, Chazal rejected that. They rejected the idea you could create a new Yom Tov, you know, with Isser Malacha. That began their Baal Tosif, that's something we don't do. But they accepted everything else. So what they made it, right, Yimei Mishtah V'Simcha, but not Yom Tov. They made shalach manot, they made tzedakah, but they dropped the idea of Yom Tov. Yes.
When Chazal or Rabbis added the second day for holidays, isn't that adding another day of Yom Tov?
No. It's because of a suffix. We can talk about it later. It's absolutely not. Okay. So you see here already kind of this idea forming that they wanted more, they got less, they got something. There's something that they got had never existed before, and that the struggle seems to be, I mean, we obviously know they won on the issue of making Megillat Esther part of Tanakh, right? But the question is how they won that, given that Chazal held out, right? They didn't make Purim into a real holiday. They made it into like a minor league holiday, let's call it that one, right? But they allow, you know, so then how did they allow it to become part of Chazal Kisvei Tanakh? So let's look at some psukim. This is straight from Rav Soloveitchik, but it's fantastic stuff. Look at source number 6. You'll recognize the pasuk right away. Koam Hashem Tzvakot. So says God. Tzom HaRivi'i, V'tzom HaChamishi, V'tzom HaShivi'i, V'tzom HaAsiri. It's what are these talking about?
The fast days.
This is what you mentioned before, right? These are Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves, Shivasa B'Tamuz, and Tisha B'Av. Okay? Yiyel Beit Yudah L'Sason L'Simcha will be, for the Jewish people, days of holiday, Ulamadim Tovim, Vo'amet V'Hashalom Ehavu. Okay? Now, what's interesting about this? No, okay. That's not interesting. We did that last week because Tanis Esther didn't exist then. Right? It wasn't that they didn't leave out Tanis Esther. What's interesting about this is, does anybody think that these four fast days are D'oraisa?
No.
No. But where do they show up? In Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanach. Right? This is a pasuk in Zechariah. Everybody with me? The Rav hints at this idea, then he says it explicitly. The issue of, wait, we can't let Megillah Esther be in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanach and not have Megillah be D'oraisa. So the answer is, well, we have precedence for that. Right? Here you have a pasuk in Zechariah. The whole idea is bizarre, right? That a Navi paskins lahalacha based on a pasuk that says, Ko amar Hashem tfakot, right? What could be more d'oraisa than Ko amar Hashem? Right? It's as explicit as it could be. And nevertheless, we all know that the four fast days are d'rabbanan, not d'oraisa. So the idea is, in theory, right, this is a precedent for what Esther might have wanted. She's saying, no, there could be such a thing as Psukim and Tanakh, which again have the Kedusha of the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, but halachically are something beneath that, right? The Rav thought this was a proof that there really isn't much of a difference between D'oraisa and D'rabbanan. It's just interesting. Like, he thought it was interesting to see the difference, but Lamaisa, okay, do another one.
Why didn't they get halachah?
Huh? Ah, so that's a different discussion. The Gemara has three reasons for why they didn't get Hallel. One is Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan, meaning it's not really the end of the story. They didn't go free. Their lives were saved, but they still were under the...
Yeah.
And just as an aside, the Rav has a beautiful piece on this. It's really interesting. He says, you think that a week later they weren't worried again? Achashverosh is a complete lunatic. Right, changed mind once.
Even though Mordechai is in charge, still
the Rav just points out that Akati Abde Achashverosh Anan is not a technicality.
Oh.
It's a description of the situation that they were genuinely, you know, joyous and Mordechai, yes. But any intelligent person, right? Lahavdil, there could be a world leader who's on our side today and who we support, you know. But we know that he's a word like mercurial.
Fickle.
I know what it means. I still know how to pronounce
fickle.
It. Okay. So the point is, right? You feel great. I listened to the news this morning. You know, Lindsey Graham is with the ambassador in the Golan Heights. They're going to represent. You know, like great. But you know,
right?
Not Lindsey Graham.
He
you know that
there
still is David Friedman. You know. Firmer than anybody ever met, like on this issue. It's like it's funny to listen to the ambassador from the United States, you know. Okay, fine. But
so there's still nervous.
Akati Avde Achashverosh Anan. Second answer, it happened, it was a Nes that happened in Chutz La'aretz, and we don't say Hallel for Nes that happened in Chutz La'aretz, except for Mitzrayim, so that's fine. But the third one, the best answer is Kriyasa Hi Halelia, meaning we read the Megillah instead of saying Hallel. But reading the Megillah is the Hallel of Purim.
In Chanukah we say Hallel and don't read the Megillah.
Correct. There is no Megillah. It didn't make
it in.
There
is, but
it's not. Who is going to start talking about the favorite book in the world? You know, say from Maccabim, whatever. It's
not my favorite book.
Okay, fine. Okay, sorry, after the Godfather. Okay. Source number 7.
Page 27.
Source number 7. Yishayahu. The Psukim say as follows. Im tashiv mi Shabbos raglecha, right? If you say the really long kiddush on Shabbos day, this is there. Asot chafasecha v'yom kachshi. Okay, now v'karata l'Shabbat oneg. You call Shabbos oneg. Likdosh Hashem mechubad v'chibadeton. You honor it. Me asot drachecha mimtzo chafsecha v'daber davar. There is. This is the source for two mitzvot: kavod Shabbos and oneg Shabbos. They're real things. Once again, mitzvos d'rabbanan that exist in one of the Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanach. Okay? Now, to show that this is not just, you know, some vague idea, let's look at some Rambam that make it absolutely clear that this is what we're talking about. Okay? So let me just find it in mine. Okay. Says the Rambam, it's source number 8. Kriyat HaMegillah Bizmana Mitzvat Asei Midivrei Sofrim. Rambam says reading Megillah in its proper time is a... What's a Mitzvat HaSei Midivrei Sofrim?
The
Rabbana. Okay, there's only two places where the Rambam uses it. Otherwise, we know it means Drabana. Now, you have to understand something, and we all kind of know it from the little bit we've seen Rambams. The Rambam is, like Rashi, you know, a master in limiting his words. In the Yad HaChazakah, there's no drashos. There's nothing like that. It's very, very limited. Okay? So the Rambam told us what I need to know. Kriyas HaMegillah is a Mitzvah Drabana. But then he adds, V'hadvarim yiduim shehi takanat ha-nevi'im. So you're like, what does that mean? I know Doraisa Drabanan. What's a Drabanan that's a takanat ha-nevi'im? Right? So that's why you need to be great to do this. I would have read this Rambam 100 times and just gone on. But the Rav said, this is not how the Rambam writes. It doesn't seem, you know, he doesn't just make observations that aren't halachic. Okay? That's source number one. Let's look at another Rambam, and soon it will start to become clear. The Rambam says as follows in source number 9. Arba'a dvarim ne'emru b'shabbat. There are four mitzvos, more or less, dvarim, it's hard to know exactly, four things that are said with respect to Shabbos. Shnayim min ha-Torah u'shnayim midivrei sofrim. Okay, two are Doraisa, and two are Rabbanan. Same exact phrase, Divrei Sofrim. And now you have the same thing. The Rambam says, V'hein mefurashim al yidei ha-nevi'im. And the question is, again, I understand, two Doraisa, two Rabbanan. Why does the Rambam have to go out of his way to then say to us, oh, by the way, the Rabbanans are explained by prophets. Let's keep reading. Shebit Torah, those that exist in the Torah, are Zachar v'Shamar. We know that, right? The positive mitzvah of observing Shabbat and the prohibition of doing malacha. That's in the Torah. We knew that. V'shenit parshu al yidei ha-nevi'im. What are those? Kavod v'oneg. Shenemar, the pasuk we read before, Nishayahu, v'karata la-shabbat oneg v'likdosh Hashem mechubad. So again, it's exactly parallel to the Purim halacha, where all I needed to know was that there's a mitzvah saseh midrabanan of reading the Megillah. I didn't need to know that it was explained by Nevi'im, right? What I need to know about Shabbos is that there's a mitzvah of Zachar and a mitzvah of Shamar, that's Doraisa. There's a mitzvah of Kavod and there's a mitzvah of Oneg, that's Drabanan. But instead the Rambam starts to explain, and the mitzvahs Drabanan are explained by the Nevi'im. Okay? It was unnecessary. By the way, just so you know, the simplest understanding of Kavod and Oneg is that Kavod is before Shabbos. Preparing for Shabbos it's fascinating that there's a mitzvah of Shabbos that's only done before Shabbos, and Oneg is on Shabbos. It's kind of like, Kavod is planting and wheat doing all the things, and Oneg is eating. But they're both part of the mitzvah of Shabbos, and they're both explained by the Nevi'im. Now, let's do one more. We did Megillah, we did Shabbos, now let's do the four fasts that we already saw in the Pasuk in Zechayo. In source number 10, the Rambam says as follows. Exactly the same. V'arba'at yimei hatzomot ha'elu harehein mefurashin b'kabbalah. Again, I understand that's Rabbanan. What is this explanation? And he quotes our Pasuk, Tzom revi v'tzom ha'chamishi v'tzom ha'shvi v'tzom ha'asiri. So you see here, it's hard to know exactly, what you see here is three examples in the Rambam. It's not a coincidence. The Rambam has a Shita. And the Shita is, the Rambam was very sensitive to the issue of Baal Tosif. Again, maybe because the Rambam's Shita is, any time you describe a Drabanan as a Doraisa, it's a Doraisa of Baal Tosif. On the other hand, while it doesn't matter, for Torah purposes it does. Meaning the Rambam is trying to say, there's Doraisa and there's Drabanan. Lemaisa, that's all that matters. But learning-wise, there's something in between. Right? the four fasts and Oneg and Kavod and Kriyas HaMegillah, Lahalacha, what are they? They're Drabanas. But the Rambam is hinting, but there's something extra about them. There's something extra about them is that they exist, they're sourced in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh. Halacha l'maisa, it doesn't matter at all. But for learning people, for the history of halacha, for people who are sensitive to sources and whatever, you need to know it's not just something that was that Chazal came along later and made gzeira against, you know, mixed swimming or whatever. You know, this is sourced in Tanakh. Now, why is it so important for us? Because it served as a precedent for what Esther and Mordechai were asking for. What were they asking for? They were asking for Megillas Esther to be incorporated in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh, but to still allow new mitzvos that obviously would not be Doraisa, because they were making them up now. And so Mordechai and Esther needed halachic precedents for mitzvos that were sourced in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh, but nevertheless were not Doraisa. And let's be clear. Mordechai and Esther, hopefully everybody here understands, were not able to quote Rambams to the Anshei Knesset HaGdola to support their argument. Okay? But it's got to be the case, you know, that they were into this idea. And here the Rav has really, like, an incredible insight. Look at source number 11. This is just Psukim, again, in the mysterious Parak Tes of the Megillah. Vatichtov Esther Malka bat Avichail uMordechai haYehudi et kol tokef. Esther and Mordechai. Esther first, by the way. That's also like an interesting to talk about. Why it's called Megillat Esther? Right, Mordechai did all the heavy lifting.
Feminism.
That's one possibility. Okay, it would be wrong, but that's one possibility. Okay, but here you have. There is a sense that she took a leading hand in writing it. Okay, but here we go. So you have Esther Malka bat Avichail uMordechai haYehudi et kol tokef. To uphold, the Rav also points out, Likayem here means to uphold. Okay, so, Vayishlach Sifarim al kol ha-Yehudim el Sheva ve-Ezrim u-Meyam Medina Malchut ha-Chashayosh Divrei Shalom ve-Emet. They sent Sifarim, also this is interesting also, so the Gemara says this too. Sometimes the Megillah is called an Igeret, a letter. Sometimes it's called a sefer. The Rav saw in that struggle that Chazal wanted to be called an igeret. An igeret is just a historical document. It's a letter. But Mordechai and Esther wanted to be a sefer. A sefer is something that you can learn from. So what did they do? Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Why did they send these things out? L'kayem et yimei ha-purim ha'ele bizmanehem. To establish these dates of Purim bizmanehem. That's also very important. Here they were giving something up already. Bizmanehem, not bizmanam. On a range of dates. Okay, we'll come back to that in a second, but remember that. Ka'asher kiyam alehem Mordechai ha'idu, as Mordechai is espoused, v'ester malka, v'ka'asher kimu al nafsham v'al zaram, and as they establish for their descendants, divrei hatzomot v'za'akatam. Now this is, I think, is incredible. What does it mean? Everybody sees this. What is it? They establish for them divrei hatzomot v'za'akatam. So some people think, I never really heard a great shout, but some people think divrei hatzomot means like a remembrance of the fact that they fasted for 3 days. Right? There was a whole, we talked about this last week, Tanis Esther, two possibilities. It refers to the fast of 3 days, or maybe it refers to the 13th where they fasted on the day of the war, which is what we think. But either way, it's a very awkward sentence to say, you know, that they established for them the holiday, and then it just says, Dibrei Atzomot V'Zakatam. And it'll just finish, U'ma'amar Esther Kiyam Dibrei Apurim O'ela V'Nichtav Basefer. So let's look closely. What's the reference to Tzomot? Says the Rav, and it's really, I think it's incredible, says the Rav, it's not talking about Tanis Esther. It's talking about Asar B'Teves and Shivasa B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av and Tzom Gedalia. What do they have to do with Purim? absolutely nothing except for the fact that they are derabbanan fasts that are listed in one of the Chaf Dal Kisvei Tanakh. Esther and Mordechai were pulling out precedents. They were saying, we're not doing anything that hasn't been done before already. You could let Megillas Esther be part of Chaf Dal Kisvei Tanakh, and yet the holiday itself would remain derabbanan. One second. You know, it's fascinating that you just have to be a genius to like have this insight. But he's saying it's not Tanis Esther at all. We read the pasuk wrong all these years. What they were arguing, you know, hidden in the psukim here is the underlying argument about making it a holiday, adding it to Chaf Dal Kisvei Tanakh. The answer is they say Dibrei Atzamot D'Zakatam. We already have these fast days. Everybody knows that Drabanan, but they're in a pasuk in Zechariah. So let us do the same thing. And now you have incredible. Uma'amar Esther Kiyam Dibrei Apurim Ha'ileh V'nichtav Ba'Sefer. They agree now. V'nichtav Ba'Sefer, it's not written in Nigeret. That argument is the winning argument. And Chazal agree, Megillas Esther can be a Sefer. What does it mean to be a Sefer? It means to be part of Chaf Dal Kisvei Tanakh. Not just to have a, you know, not just to be a historical narrative, not just to be Sefer HaMakabim, but to be part of Chaf Dal Kisvei Tanakh, that's the winning argument. Yes?
Question for you. You're quoting Sukkim from Zechariah. Wasn't Zechariah written after Esther's?
It's a good argument. Zechariah, what's for sure is that Zechariah was part of Chaf Dal Kisvei Tanakh before Esther. Right? The question of when exactly, you know, Esther took place might be different than when it was admitted to the Chaf Dal Kisvei Tanakh.
Yeah.
Like, our assumption is that this all happened the next week. But it could have been 5 years later, it could have been 10 years later, it could have been 20 years later, till it got into Chaf Dal Kisvei Tanakh. Chronologically, you're right. But the assumption we have is that Esther was the last book to be admitted into the canon. Right? There was no such thing. It wasn't a canon at the time. Right? They decided there'd be a canon. They fought to get it in, and they used, according to the Rav, they used Zechariah, sort of like, you let Zechariah get in, right? And so therefore you have to let us get in.
I think it's hundreds of years ago. The canon was done in the 2nd, 3rd century CE already.
What do you mean already?
Well, meaning the Esther, the Megillat Esther and Holiday are hundreds of years prior to the canonization process. There's no connection.
No. So you could, like, academically, that's the case. But in halachic sources, they fought to get it into the Chaf Dal Kisvei Tanakh. You could be right that only at some point later they said nothing else gets in. But you got in before. Meaning, I assume Jews knew that Yoshua, whatever it was going to be, Yoshua was going to be in. So I can't argue with you that, you know, what date it was that the canon was sealed. I don't think we know the date. But the assumption in our tradition is that the last book to be admitted to the canon was Megillat Esther. Okay, now, let's do it this way. Let's do some more halacha, then we'll come back. Okay. Why don't you find this same struggle with respect to Hanukkah? I just laid out for you kind of a struggle both over the canon, but also just the mitzvah. Right? You don't find any place this argument about Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah, how did you make a new mitzvah? Okay? You just don't find it.
Because it's in Israel, the second because it was kashur to the Mikdash, so you have these two connectors.
For sure, both of those are true, but I got something better.
And they did already pave the way.
Ah. So, if you look for the halachos of Purim and Hanukkah in the Rambam, for example. So where do you look? And you look in Hilchos Zmanim, right? Sefer Zmanim, because that's where, okay? And you look in Sefer Zmanim, the way it's set up in Sefer Zmanim is, you know, what you would expect first comes first. You know, Shabbos at the beginning, and then Yom Kippur, the holidays, whatever. The last thing is Hanukkah and Purim. Why? Obviously, because they're the only drabbanans in the whole book. But there's one sefer, there's one thing, it's called Hilchos Purim, Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, right? They're not separate. Now, the easy answer is because they're both short. They're each two prakim. But the real answer is because they're exactly the same. And watch this. Look at source number 12. Says the Rambam as follows. This is the beginning of Chanukah. Umipnei zeh hitkinu chachamim shevoto hador sheyihiyu shmonat hayamim ha'elu. These 8 days. Shetchilatan milel chamisha ve'esrim b'kislev yom simcha v'halel umadlikin bohem aneirot v'erev al pitchei abatim v'chol layla v'layla mishmonat ha'layla v'harot l'gol ha'neis. And you light every night for 8 days. V'yamim elu heim hanikraim Chanukah. Okay, great. That's the end of the halacha. Okay, you want more? Fine. They're called Chanukah. V'hein asurim v'hesped v'ta'anit. Fine. That's all I need. Says the Rambam. Kimei ha'purim. Now, I don't need the Rambam to say that. But in case you don't feel like that's significant, let's continue reading. V'hadlakat haneirot v'hen mitzvah midivrei sofrim. Kikriyat HaMegillah. Hello? The Rambam doesn't say Pesach is like Sukkot and Sukkot is like Shavuot. You're still not sold. Next. Kol shechayav bikriyat HaMegillah, chayav bahadlakat ner Chanukah. What a bizarre formulation. You want to know who has to light menorah? Oh, look at Hilchos Purim. Whoever has to hear the Megillah has to. Says the Rav, what's the Rambam saying? The Rambam is saying that Chanukah only exists because of Purim. Because Mordechai and Esther won the battle to have a new holiday called Purim, there didn't have to be a battle about Chanukah. And the Rambam is subtly letting you know, lahalacha, the reason why there's a mitzvah of Hadlakat Ner Chanukah is because there's a mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. And how do I tell you that? Because every time I mention one halacha, I mention the other. And again, the Rambam doesn't do this anyplace else. Says the Rav kind of definitively, you could see what the Rambam is really saying is the reason why there's no fight over Chanukah is because the fight had been won already over Purim. Okay? Now.
Chronologically, yeah. I mean, the fact that he even told them to fill up Megillah Chanukah and not the opposite.
No, but we do think that Purim came first chronologically.
Of course, 400 years earlier.
You think that Purim? It's before Bayashani. Probably, mm-hmm. It's in one of the Galuyos, before Bayashani. Okay? So, we're doing good. Now, let's make one last point, which I think is related to how it came to be, and the point that was raised earlier. Let's look at Shulchan Aruch. Right? This is now Halacha L'maaseh. Hamafaresh Bayam. V'hayotzei b'shayara. Okay, you're going on a trip. V'eino motzei megillah laholichimo. And he doesn't have a megillah to take on, on his cruise or on his business trip. Yikre'enu b'yudgimel o b'yudbet o b'acharasar below bracha. Right, that's what we saw in the first mission in Megillah. The din really is, right, it's bizarre. Halacha l'maaseh. If you're flying Purim night, and, you don't know how to read Megillah, you could read it on your gimel. Without a bracha, you're supposed to try to get a minyan. You have to ask a real posek. But that's the din. Even halacha l'maaseh nowadays. For whatever reason, that you're in that situation. V'in e'af shar lahamtin ad yamim halalu. If you can't wait that long. Yesh o'im shekara afilu mitchilat ha'chodesh. It's bizarre, okay? And the Ramah says, v'hachi nog. That's in fact a minhag. Miu, just to finish halacha, im nizdamein lo achar kach megillah. Let's say you read on the 13th. You get on the flight, and wouldn't you know it, there's a whole bunch of chassidim, and they have a megillah, and there's going to be, so then he says, no, you can't say I already heard it already. It's not like mincha. Okay, my wife had a Gentile professor. But he was a professor of Judaic studies at NYU, so he knew a lot. Okay? So he once told her, there's two questions that all Jews say yes to. One, did you daven mincha? Two, are you milchik? God told her this. Okay? Fine. So you're on the plane, and they're reading again, so you have to read again. Afilu karat chila biyom yudgimu mikamacham karat ta shalo bizmana. Okay? It's true, you read it on the 13th, but it's really shalo bizmana. Mm-hmm. Fine. What's the sense? This is an idea heard from Rav Meidan. But we don't, this is where the question we started with, we don't have this model anyplace else. That there's a holiday, but if it's inconvenient, you know, you could move it to a range of days. Rav Meidan suggested this was part of the compromise that Mordechai and Esther made with Chazal. When they said this is a holiday that has to be accepted, bizmanehem, they were saying if it makes you feel better, if it will look less like a real holiday, we understand you're afraid of baltosis. We understand we're afraid of creating new doraisas. So we've already brought you precedents to prove that the fact that we're in Chav Dal Kis V'Tanach doesn't make us doraisa, we could still be drabana. But you know what? We'll give you, we'll throw you a bone. If what's going to get us over the hump to create a new holiday is it shouldn't look exactly like real holidays, fine. Let us do it bizmanehem. You can do it the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th. Because somehow you understand this is a range of dates. Whatever it is, it's not Sukkot. It's not Yom Kippur. It's not Pesach. It's not Rosh Hashanah. It's something less. Right? And Rav Meidan said exactly your point. Rav Meidan said, maybe that's why the Rabbanut, when they established Yom HaAtzmaut, they're also nervous about this whole idea. Right? And so they made these crazy ideas. Yom HaAtzmaut almost never falls out on Hey Iyar. Why? Because it can't obviously be Shabbos. And it can't be Friday, because Friday will be Goreng Chilul Shabbos. And it can't be Sunday, because the day before has to be Yom HaZikaron. And it can't be Monday, because you don't want Yom HaZikaron to be Motzei Shabbos, you know?
It gives you 3 days.
So right, it gives you 3 days. So you know what? It never happens that way. So Rav Meidan suggested, maybe they modeled it on Purim, with this idea that we want to have a commemoration. It's really important to have a commemoration. But we don't want people to see it, you know, as baltosif. So exactly the way Purim plays out, Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim also plays out that way. Yom Yerushalayim cannot be on a Friday, and it cannot be on Shabbos, which is something it falls out on. Okay? The same exact idea. It's used as kind of a way to indicate lesser importance. Right? We, in our own lives, you know, you want to celebrate your birthday on your birthday. You don't want to be a nidcha. It always seems your anniversary, right? If something's a nidcha, it seems less important. But the answer is that may be the point. Yes?
Can we go further back and say the calendar that we have, the certain Yom Tov can't pull out on certain days, we designed the calendar that way.
So therefore?
Therefore, we don't have to, in other words, because we designed the calendar that way for Yom Tov, that it's a Raisa,
right,
we surely can move these around.
No, the opposite. I think the opposite. You're exactly right. First of all, we don't really do it. It's true.
And
we do it for
if you go back
months.
Further,
no, but the
Rosh
point
Hashanah, which is supposed to be a one-day yontif, is always a two-day yontif,
right,
which was decided by Sanhedrin.
Good. But Yom Tov Sheni is a completely different thing. I would say the opposite. We don't bother to fix Purim. That's the point. It's not important enough. We fix Hoshana Rabbah, right? And we fix certain things about Rosh Hashanah, right? But because this is only Drabbanan, we don't fix it. And the answer is, yeah, when it comes out on that day, we move it. As it happens, your Dalit cannot fall out on Shabbos. Right? So I'm not really sure how Shushan Purim can fall out on Shabbos.
Yeah.
But I don't think your Dalit can fall out on Shabbos. I don't think that's possible. Okay, now, let's end with one last point. Like, I think these ideas halakhically are fascinating, but let's end with one last point. And that is the idea that Megillas Esther became a sefer and not just an Iger, and became part of Chav Dal Kisvei Tanakh and not just a historical document. Why does it really matter? Okay, so on some level, it doesn't. We would keep, you know, Megillah as a drabanon anyway. But Rav Soloveitchik said it's a huge difference. And the difference is, how do you relate to Megillat Esther and how do you use it? He said, Megillat Esther would have been a historical document for us if it wasn't in Chav Dal Kisvei Tanach, right? And it would be important because we would learn all these things about the story. he said, but when it becomes part of Chavdal Kisrei Tanakh, then it's like it's Sefer Bereishis. Okay? Then you can learn things halachically by the way Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov behave. You can learn from the narrative. Once it becomes, you know, a chatzah shel Torah, so now the narrative itself can serve as a halachic source. And he told this unbelievable story, which we'll end with, but it makes the point.
I think we don't learn a lot of this from Levine.
Give me a chance. We do. You have to be careful, but we definitely do. So here's the story. There is somebody, maybe you heard the name, Rav Man ben Rav Man. Okay? This is one of the two famous people from Vilna at the beginning of the 1700s. One was the Ger Tzedek. What was this person named? Rav Man ben Rav Man. And it's early 1700s. I'll tell you the story. And the Rav, like, had a story in his family. Okay? They, by the way, to this day, they say Avarachim on Hoshana Rabbah and one other time, and everybody knows, it's Lezecha Rav Man ben Rav Man. Okay? What's the story? What's the story? So in the early 1700s in Vilna, some apostate, right, a Meshumot, wanted to set the Jews up. So he broke into a church. The way the Rav tells the story, he must have done it in cahoots with the priest. But he went and he took a very valuable church icon from the church and he planted it in the shul. Okay? On, you know, right before Hoshana Rabbah. Then he went to the authorities and he said, the Jews, you know, the Jews want to humiliate the church, so they stole this artifact and they're planning to take these reeds to beat it with on the next day. And if you go into their houses, you'll see they're preparing for this festival. So of course they go to the shul, they find the artifacts, then they go into everybody's houses and everybody has, you know, Hoshanas. Okay? It's bizarre, but in a world of anti-Semitism. So they arrest the 30 Parnassim of Vilna, the 30 leaders of the community, and the end is clear. They're going to be tortured and they're going to be hanged. Okay? You know. So this person, Rav Man ben Rav Man, goes to Rav Shmuel Achron. His name was Rav Shmuel Achron. He was the last rabbi of Vilna. And he says to him, these people are dead. There's no such thing as a fair trial. These people are dead. Let me stand up. For whatever reason, I'm going to say it was me who did it. Okay? And they'll kill me, and I'll save these, you know, the 30 leaders of the community. So Rav Shmuel Achron says to him, I cannot be matir. Like, let me go to the Vilna Gaon. I'll consult with the Vilna Gaon. So he goes to the Vilna Gaon. What's interesting about this story is that nobody knows what the Vilna Gaon passed. He comes back, and Rav Man ben Rav Man says to Rav Shmuel Achron, I've already decided. I don't care what the Vilna Gaon says, I'm doing it. So he says to him, you can't do that. So he says, yes, I can. I read the Megillah. And in the Megillah, Esther was fine. Right? But the halacha that I learned from the Megillah is that if you could save the community, even though your life is not in danger, you're obligated to do so. And he went ahead, and he basically admitted to this crime, and he was tortured for months, then he was killed in the town square in Vilna, and they say Avarachim on his yard site, which is a yantuf, because he saved the community. And the Rav said, that's the difference between a Nigeret and a Sefer. That you could paskin from the story. Where does it say the halacha is? He said, I read the Megillah. If the Megillah is part of Chavdal Kisrei Tanakh, I learned the following lesson. The following lesson is that Esther put her life at risk to save the community, and therefore that's the din. And the Rav said, you know, I'm not saying it's the din, it's not the din, but he said, that's what happens when you put something in Chavdal Kisrei Tanakh. Shkav.
Really?